Please open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah 8. Isaiah 8, beginning in verse 19. If you're willing and able, would you please stand as we read our sermon text? Isaiah 8, beginning in verse 19, we'll read down to chapter 9, verse 7. Hear the word of the Lord. When someone tells you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? Consult God's instruction and the testimony of warning. If anyone does not speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn. Distressed and hungry, they will roam through the land. When they are famished, they will become enraged, and looking upward, they will curse their king and their God. Then they will look toward the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Let us pray. Almighty Father, you have spoken through your prophets. Your words were faithful in the mouths of your holy servants. They longed for a much better fulfillment, one that is now ours through the first coming of your Son. Today we still desire the best of all answers to our holy longings. And so we pray, come again soon, Lord Jesus. Until that final day, you've given us your holy word, which we do believe. May it be a light in our life. May it be a light for our path. May we trust in you and cling to your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Christmas time is such a hopeful, optimistic season. It is a happy time for so many people. You hear people singing. You see people smiling. You feel the electric energy from the children as they see Saint Nick at the mall. And they craft their lists. And they look forward with eager anticipation to having wishes fulfilled. Homes and businesses are decked with lights and holly and garland and trim and trees. It is a time when people are a little more hopeful that maybe, just maybe, things might get better. That we might treat one another with a little more kindness. That's the theme of every Christmas movie I have ever seen. From It's a Wonderful Life to Scrooged with Bill Murray. I watched it a few years ago. I had some fond recollections of it. Watched it again, and Sarah looked at me and she said, "I can't believe we're watching this." It was terrible. It was not a great movie, but it had Bill Murray in it. And he was the modern, well, at least 80s version of Ebenezer Scrooge. And he was a horrible, deplorable man. But by the end of it, he was singing, "Put a little love in your heart, and we'll make the world a better place." And there's that feeling among us. There's this feeling that, oh, you know, this is the season where things can get better. But you know, if you get past the edges, if you look away from those flickering lights, you see a lot of shadows, don't you? There's a lot of darkness. That cheer becomes hollow when you press into it just a little bit. Many of those smiles are just veneers that people put on. Because all around us there is brokenness, there is pain, there is sorrow, there is darkness. And that's what Isaiah writes about. He writes to a people who are dwelling in deep darkness, and they are suffering the distress of darkness. Maybe that's where you are this morning. Maybe that's what you are feeling this morning. Oh, you put on the jolly clothes, you put on the happy face, you sing the songs and you say, "Merry Christmas." But inside you feel like you're withering away. You feel broken and everything feels dark and dim and gloomy. You're suffering. And the people in Isaiah's day were suffering. They were distressed. They were hungry, according to verse 21. They were finding no satisfaction, no fulfillment. Darkness comes in a lot of forms. Maybe you have the darkness of loneliness in your life. Maybe you walk through the shopping centers and you see the crowds and you never feel more alone. Maybe you come to church and in this crowd of people you feel isolated and all by yourself. Maybe at home, even though there are people who are in the same dwelling as you, you still feel lonely because of estrangement and alienation and conflict. You're in the darkness of loneliness. Maybe you're in the darkness of fear. As a parent of a teenager and a tween, that's what you call kids who are 11 and 12, I certainly feel that darkness of fear as I consider what it is my kids are facing, what your grandkids are facing. I know every generation feels that way. Every generation feels like, oh, things are getting terrible. You remember hearing your grandparents talk, and they would talk about how awful things are getting. And that's certainly true in some ways. The times change, but something seems very different about this age in which we live. And it creates a sense of fear and foreboding for many of us. And maybe that's what you're feeling today. As you look at the future, you are afraid of what is coming because it seems very black and very bleak. Maybe you are experiencing the darkness of pain, both physical and existential. As your body fails and decays, and you wake up and it hurts to move, it feels very dark. When you look out and you see people walking down the street and you think, I used to be able to do that. When you see others able to work in their yards, till their gardens, pull the vegetables, and you have a sense of darkness come in because you remember, I can't do that anymore. Or maybe it's the existential pain of a broken life. You're feeling the pain because someone has hurt you and wounded you in a deep and profound way. And the wound won't close and heal. And just that moment when you think it's going to be over, something causes that scar to break open. And the pain is fresh. Maybe you are in the darkness of guilt and shame and regret. And you think of all the ways you've messed up. And you hope beyond hope that no one gets to know the real you because you are so afraid that if they know you, the real you, they would reject you, and you just can't bear that. And so you try to hide. But the more you hide, the deeper into darkness you go. And you're just spiraling downward. Are you living in darkness today? Do you feel that distress? Do you feel that pain? Are you suffering in darkness today? In Isaiah's day, people were searching. When you're in darkness, you start groping around. You start trying to feel your way through because you're tired of stubbing your toe on the dresser. You're tired of tripping over the chairs. You're tired of not finding what it is you're looking for. And so you keep feeling your way around in the darkness and you're searching. Verse 21 says, they roam through the land. They keep going from place to place. They keep going from thing to thing, from promise to promise, book to book, event to event, experience to experience, and they roam, and they're just trying to feel their way, trying to find something that will bring them relief. But all they're feeling is more emptiness, frustration, and futility. Mick Jagger sings their anthem, I try and I try and I try, but I can't get no satisfaction. There is no hope, no fulfillment. No light. And so what do they do? In verse 19, they consult mediums and spiritists. They look to what is dead on behalf of the living. They listen to the false promises and assurances. And it continues to lead them further and further away from what it is they really need. In verse 22, they look toward the earth. And all they see is even more darkness and more fearful gloom. Is that what you see when you look around? The suffering that leads to searching will bring rage in verse 21. When they are famished, they will become enraged. And looking upward, they will curse their king and their God. Much of the social frustration and chaos and disorder that we see today is the manifestation of anger because of frustration. The promise that has been made by politicians have become failed promises. The belief that because we're in America, everything's going to be great has disappointed. The American dream has come up short. And they are famished and they curse the king. But not only do they curse the king, they curse God. We live in a day where more and more people are turning their backs on the church. They're turning their backs on Christ. Sometimes because we as God's people have failed to represent Him faithfully and well. But a lot of times because they just are mad that things aren't the way they want them to be. Darkness seems to be winning. Darkness feels like it's growing. But friends, Isaiah tells us darkness will not have the last word. Darkness will not have the last word in this world. Darkness will not have the last word in your life. Darkness will not have the last word because nevertheless. Verse 1. They look toward the earth and they see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into outer darkness. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. The dawn of hope comes. No matter how bad it seems to get, how broken your life is, no matter how much this world appears to be falling into a greater and more terrible darkness, no matter how much gloom and distress there seems to be, light is breaking through and hope is dawning. Verse 2, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. If you are walking in darkness this morning, God wants to shine light into your life. In verse 3, God is bringing renewed joy. Reborn joy. Refreshed joy. You have enlarged the nation. You have increased their joy. Not this saccharine, superficial, artificial happiness that is promised to us as consumers, but deep and abiding joy through all of the pain, all of the grief, all of the sorrow, overcoming even the deepest of sin. God brings renewed joy and He removes our burden. Verses 4 and 5. As in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them. The bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressors. Do you feel burdened today? Do you feel like you're wearing a yoke? Every day becomes the same over and over again, and there seems to be no relief. God breaks that yoke. He shatters that bondage. Verse 5 talks about the warrior's boot used in battle, the garments rolled in blood. All that brings misery. He's writing in a time when nations are trampling over one another and armies are overrunning cities and villages and just shattering families and tribes and communities. He says, all of that, it's going to be burned up. It's going to be obliterated. He's going to remove our burden. And He does it by offering to us a reigning child. Verses 6 and 7. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given. The government will be on His shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of His government, the greatness of His rule, His peace, there will be no end. This reigning child, this one who in Isaiah's day was to come, and for us, the one who has already come. He is the Wonderful Counselor. He is the infinitely wise one who knows the answer to all of your deepest burdens and issues. He has the answers for you if you will listen, if you will receive His guidance and counsel. Oh, His infinite and amazing wisdom is a precious gift to us. Will we hear? Will we listen? He is the mighty God. He is omnipotent in power. He is not restrained. He is not restricted. He is not inhibited in any way. He is the mighty God who can do anything and everything that needs to be done. He is the everlasting Father who eternally loves and cares and provides for His people. You are loved and cherished today by this reigning child. And He's the Prince of Peace. He is the one who brings wholeness, fullness, and completeness to our lives. This child reigns in the kingdom of God, establishing His rule and reign in our hearts. Friends, when things seem to be at their darkest, look to the light ahead. Look to the light of Christ and not just the darkness that surrounds you. So consider the direction of your faith today. Where do you put your hope? Where do you turn your attention? Back up in chapter 8. Verse 19 asks the question, should not a people inquire of God? Should we not seek the Lord? You have tried everything else. You've read every book Oprah recommended. You tried every plan your friend suggested. Should you not now listen to God? You've tried your own plan. You've tried your own way. You've tried to do your own thing. Is it a time now to ask God, what should I do? How should I live? Where should I go? What would you have me do, O Lord? Should you not inquire of God? You never get out of the darkness until you turn to the light. Verse 20, consult God's instruction. He's given to us His Word that we might know Him and His way. Look to the Lord. Listen to the Lord. Give your life to the Lord. You are going to continue to dwell in darkness for as long as you turn away from God and resist Christ's reign over your life. But if you will believe, if you will surrender, the light of life will dawn. So where is your faith today? Is it in the world? Is it in what others can do for you? Someone to come in and rescue you and fix things for you? Is it in your own ability to change things and accomplish things? Or is your faith, is your hope in the Lord Jesus Christ? Dear friends, Jesus came into the world to be our Savior and Lord. In love, He became a human being and He lived a sinless life to redeem us and to rescue us from our darkness. He died on the cross and He rose from the grave to give us the light of life and salvation. So trust Him, turn to Him, believe Him, give your life to Him and start walking in the light. Let's pray. Lord God, we have been so greatly blessed. Your light shines upon the nations. You've broken the rod of our oppressors through the birth and death of Your Son. He is our King forever. He is our mighty God. Forgive our arrogance when we think that we could have victory over evil and darkness without Your grace. Christ and His cross alone is our great power. His life and His death has given us eternal life. May the light of Your grace dawn on all who are in darkness here today. Fill us with hope through our living Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.